Hi, this is R. Renee with thetithinghoax.com. Let's talk about what the church doesn't want you to talk about today on the Tithing Hoax Podcast. Stay tuned for this week's message. R. Renee here with thetithinghoax.com, and thank you for joining me for the new episode of the Tithing Hoax Podcast. Before I get into today's message, let me make this announcement. Right now, we have a new Tithing Hoax ebook. We have an ebook version of the Tithing Hoax that you can now download. Over the years, we've had many of our visitors, especially our international visitors, who wanted copies of the book, but they weren't able to get a copy because even though the book is available as a paperback through Amazon.com, Amazon doesn't distribute the book in a lot of, doesn't have an international platform, I guess you can say, distribution to a lot of international countries. And we've had requests from people in Africa and Asia and India. So for a lot of our followers and visitors who are not able to, who don't have access to the book via Amazon.com, you now can actually download the book directly from thetithinghoax.com as an ebook in PDF form. So this is the first time we're offering the book in that format. And it's there. You can have it within a few minutes, and so you can go ahead and get a copy of the Tithing Hoax ebook for only $7, and it's much cheaper than getting it from Amazon, and you don't have to worry about paying shipping and handling costs, particularly if you're international. One of our international followers or visitors, and you know international shipping is quite expensive. So we wanted to make it accessible to everyone and make it as affordable as possible. So you can now download your ebook version of the Tithing Hoax. And of course, we also have the free tithe study guide in a PDF form, and you can also download that from thetithinghoax.com, and that's a free resource that will give you a good foundational understanding of the biblical tithe. So I just wanted to share that with you and to let you know what's available now from thetithinghoax.com. So now, in this episode, I'm continuing a series of teachings that address some questions and some statements one of our visitors had raised, and regarding the tithe and why he, you know, supports the tithe and basically what he's been taught about the tithe. And so in this episode, this is the statement, one of the statements that he shared with me. Now, his position is this: the tithe guarantees meat in God's house. And he says, I believe this is so full-time priests aren't left to serendipity, having forsaken all other jobs to answer the call. So said in another way, he views the tithe, that is paying 10% of your income, as mandatory or as necessary in order to guarantee that the salary of full-time pastors are covered. In other words, if you don't have a tithe in place, this mandatory payment of money in place, and if you rely strictly on free will offerings, that is free will offerings are not a dependable source of income, and relying on free will offerings, you're not going to be able to support full-time pastors or full-time ministry. So the first thing I want to deal with is the whole thing about the meat, the tithe being meat in God's store, in God's house, because I always like to get clear on terminology here and make sure I have to always instill this and make sure we are always clear about what the biblical tithe is. Now, Malachi 3:10 makes reference to the tithe, and the tithe and there being meat in God's house. Now, if you don't know by now, which you, if you've been listening to the Tithing Helps podcast long enough and read our blogs long enough, you ought to know this. This is fundamental. The tithe, the biblical tithe, is food. It's not money, it's food. And so when it talks about, when the scripture, Malachi 3:10, is talking about meat in God's house, it's actually meat in reference to agricultural produce. It's food, because that's what tithes are. It's food. It's fruits, the vegetables, the grains, the oils, the wines, and the livestock. Now, to have the tithe or have the meat in God's house or God's storehouse, we have to look at what a storehouse is. And the storehouse is not a church. The storehouse is not a place of worship. You know, because people, pro-tithers, think of tithe as money, and if you want, and money is the meat, and if you're going to have meat in God's house, storehouse, they think that that is the same thing as church. And it's not. The storehouse, and this is according to the research done by Dr. Russell Kelly, a theologian. And if you have not checked out his work, he's done excellent work on the topic of tithing. The storehouse in the Old Testament temple, as he says, or the Jewish temple, the storehouse or were actually store rooms within the Jewish temple. And according to Dr. Russell, these storerooms contain 2% of the nation of Israel's tithes. But anyway, but the storehouse is is a storage room or storage facility where the tithes were kept. Now, in terms of the Jewish temple, you had these storerooms in the temple where the tithes were stored. They were stored there for the time in which the priest and the assistants to the priest would offer up the tithes for sacrifice and made their offerings on the altar and so forth. So they had to have a place to keep the tithes that were brought to them from some of the ancient Israelites, those who were responsible for paying tithes. So they had to have a place to keep the tithes. So that's what the storehouse or the storerooms were. These were places, they were just storage facilities for all this food and all this, no livestock. Simple as that. But the storehouse itself was not a place of worship, and so a storehouse is not the same as a church. So let's get clear about that. So let me move on to his second statement, where he says, you know, I believe that basically the tithe is necessary in order for so full-time priests or pastors won't be left to serendipity, having forsaken all other jobs to answer the call. Let's look at, since you know, because the whole tithe thing is really based on the old covenant and the way the ancient Israelites had their religious system set up. So the only people God ever promised tithes to were the Levites. The tithe was set aside for the Levites. And yes, the tribe of Levi was the tribe in which all of the priests and the assistants to the priests came from, that tribe, the Levitical priesthood, and they were responsible for conducting the religious services for ancient Israel. And you know, in Numbers chapter 18 verses 25 through 32, it talks about the tithe being set aside for that group of people, being set aside for the Levites. So only the Levites were authorized to receive tithes. That was God's promise to them. Okay. Now, when you talk about the Christian church of today, here's the thing. The Christian church of today, in terms of its structure, it doesn't even resemble and doesn't take its blueprint from the New Covenant church of the Bible. It's really based on the way the ancient Israel had their religious system set up, and that was based on the old covenant. So my question is, as a Christian church, why are you basing or developing why have you structured the Christian church, which is supposed to be of the new covenant, Why is it based on an old covenant paradigm? So to really understand this, we have to look at the New Covenant Church and how it was set up. And I found this resource. It's called The Biblical Model for Church Organization by Mitch Cervinka. The Biblical Model for Church Organization by Mitch Cervinka. And what I like about it is that he really broke down in a very simple way what the New Covenant Church of the Bible looks like. And when you realize how that church was set up, you see that today's church doesn't even resemble the New Covenant Church. So it's like, what covenant are you following as a Christian church? Because when you're talking about tithes, you obviously are not following the New Covenant. But even the way the church is structured is still not following the blueprint of the New Covenant Church. And I'm gonna show you and share with you what I research on the New Covenant Church. First of all, let's talk about the myth of the full-time ministry. Okay, you want to say there you want to justify tithing, you need tithing in place to support a full-time ministry. Well, in the New Covenant Church, there was no full-time ministry. There was no concept of a full-time ministry. There was no such thing as people pastoring a church as a profession. And I quote from the source, Mr. Cervinka's resource here. He says, when appointed to be a pastor, a man did not give up his secular job. Need I repeat that? When appointed to be a pastor, a man did not give up his secular job. He kept his job. Furthermore, the task of pastoring the church was shared among several men. So there was no structure where this is like the head pastor in charge and then it's like everybody else under him. There was no head pastor who quit his job and he pastored full time as his profession. That did not exist. And it would make sense that you would have several men pastoring a church because, you know, so these men had to keep their jobs. I'm sure they had, you know, families to support. So, you need to keep your job. And it wasn't intended for this to be a profession. So, yes, it would make sense that you would have several men who would share the duties and responsibilities of pastoring a church. So that responsibility didn't fall on the shoulders of one person. So everyone could contribute to the church and yet still maintain their full-time employment. Quite a bit different from today's church, ain't it? Yeah. Now, the real church of the Bible, there were part-time elders, pastors, overseers. Okay? They held jobs. Also, the church didn't own property. There were no mortgages. There were no full-time salaries. There's no minister of music receiving a full-time salary. There's no pastor receiving a full-time salary. There's no mega church to try to support and pay for. The church didn't own property, so it wasn't necessary to have this, you know, put this financial burden on people to support this huge mega church that the pastor wants to have. You know, there was no formal membership. Now, as far as apostles, now the apostles traveled often and they received financial support in the form of free will offerings. And that would make sense because the role of the apostles were to go out and to establish churches, right? And so with them having to travel, I can see them receiving free will offerings, not tithes, but yes, receiving free will offerings. And once again, this comes from the Biblical Model for Church Organization by Mitch Cervinka. Now, I want to talk a little bit about answering the call. Okay, the call to ministry. This is a point I want to make about the call to ministry. Maybe a couple of points. Number one, a call to ministry is not always a call to pastor a church. That's the first thing that people think of when it comes to being called to ministry, that they have to go set up a church. I don't think everybody who has a church or who's pastoring a church is necessarily called to pastor a church. Secondly, When it comes to ministry, I believe we all have a ministry. You may want to call it this. Everyone is here for a purpose. You know, so when I look at the word ministry, I don't look at it from the standpoint of within the religious context or a Christian context. The ministry is, I have a broader view of the word ministry. I don't confine it to religious terms. You know, if you have a purpose and you're here and you are here because you do have a purpose, well, whatever that purpose is, that is your ministry. You know, and so what you have in the world of religion and the world of the church, and people think of ministry, oh, go get you a church. Well, maybe you're not called to pastor a church. But since church has, since pastoring has become a profession, and some people see it as an easy way to get paid, and that's what they go do. So, and here's another thing about, you know, whatever your ministry is or whatever your purpose is, keep in mind, God provides for the vision. If God has called you to do something, God will always provide the means to get that done. You call to a ministry, and if you happen to be called to pastor a church, God is going to provide the means for you to sustain and that church and sustain that ministry. You see, and my thing is, when people are not necessarily acting in, quote unquote, the will of God, and they're really acting on their own, coming from a place of their ego, and it's something that they just want to do, that's when you get into situations where, you know, a lot of these folks bite off more than they can chew. They go get these big, try to have a big mega church, and pastor wants a Bentley, and he wants to be the, you know, the head, the HNIC, the head Negro in charge. He wants to be, you know, he wants to be this celebrity preacher. He wants what the next preacher has, and more, you know, getting into competing with other pastors. And so they start doing things that they may not be called to do. And so that's when you get into situations where you have preachers who start manipulating and coercing people into tithing. They start manipulating the Bible and taking scriptures out of context, because now they feel, to support the kind of church that they want to have and to support the kind of lifestyle they want to have, they need more money. So that's when they impose the tithe on people, which is like a tax, this religious tax on people, to support the stuff that they want to do and not necessarily what God has called them to do. So they're just operating in their own will and not necessarily the will of God. Because when you're operating in God's will, you don't got to manipulate. You don't have to coerce. You don't have to put the fear in people. You don't have to do all those kind of play all these type of mind games and trick people and use all this religious trickery on people. Because God will always provide for you. If God has called you to something, God is going to provide for you. That doesn't mean you're not going to have any setbacks or any obstacles or any challenges along the way, but God is going to get you through those things. But you don't have to pimp the people if you're truly called to do something. Now, if you in the pimpology to get what you want and it's all about you, then that's what you're going to do. Yeah, you're going to pimp the people, and you're going to pimp them in the name of religion. And you're going to find all kinds of scriptures to support your pimp game. Come on now, and like I said in the previous podcast, look, the Christian church, the New Covenant church, the church of the Bible, it supported itself for nearly 800 years without any so-called tithe. They did pretty well for themselves, okay? And you're going to tell me that you got to have a tithe? You got to impose this religious lie on people to keep the church going? That's a bunch of nonsense. Anyway, so let's recap. Okay, so you know, our visitor wrote that the tithe guarantees meat in God's house. I believe this is so full-time priests or pastors aren't left to serendipity, having forsaken all other jobs to answer the call. And so what we say, meat is not money. Okay, meat is food, because the tithe is food. So when you see that in Malachi 3:10, that meat, you're talking about agricultural product, agricultural produce. You're talking about fruits, vegetables, grains, oils, livestock, and so forth. And the storehouse is not a church. The storehouse, you know, you're talking about storerooms that were in the Jewish temple where the tithes were kept and stored until it was time to for the priest to offer up the various sacrifices and offerings. Okay? And the concept of full-time ministry is not a new covenant concept. It's not of the new covenant. And the church supported itself with free will offerings. Like I said, 800 years, they were doing pretty good. Okay? It maintained itself. The church didn't die away because people didn't, quote-unquote, tithe. So if they can do it back then and survive today, the church of today can survive without this so-called tithe. And finally, God always provides for your calling, all the resources you need to get the job done. And if God's way is not good enough for you, and you got to pimp the people with this whole tithe nonsense, maybe it's not your God's calling that you have answered. You want some other stuff. So that's what I wanted to say and just clarify those things. And the bottom line is the church can support itself with free will offerings. It did back then, and it can do it today. So, this is R. Renee with thetidyhost.com. Thank you for listening, and I will get with you next time. Peace. R. Renee here. Thank you for tuning in and listening to the Tithing Hoax podcast. For more information about the Tithing Hoax, visit thetithinghoax.com, download your free tithe study guide, or drop us an email at info@thetithinghoax.com. Until next time, peace and blessings.